Well, it's a match made in heaven. Now, their love story has been seen around the world.
I, Beecher, take you, April.
I, April, take you, Beecher.
I vow to love and honor you.
Promise to remain by your side.
I do.
I do.
This is the story of how a seemingly perfect Christian couple went against evangelical culture to embrace their authentic selves and found a healthier marriage in the process.
This is the Non-Binary Marriage Podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Non-Binary Marriage Podcast. This is April.
And I'm Beecher.
We've got another full episode for you as we tell the story of our, I don't know, our relationship, our marriage, our life.
I will say we are nearing the end, and I can say that confidently because
we're getting closer to present day.
Yes, and as we're nearing the end, I want y'all to know...
The end of the podcast, just to be clear, not like the end of us.
Maybe the end of the world.
Maybe, who knows?
Sure. Who knows? We can do a separate podcast about that. Mm-hmm. So as we're nearing the end of this saga, of us telling this saga, we are looking at ways to build an online community of listeners because we continue to get great messages from people and we think it would be so healthy and wonderful to have a place where we all could connect with each other. So I want you to know that we are seriously looking at several options. If you're interested in joining that online community when this podcast ends, please email us at nonbinarymarriage@gmail.com. And as we figure out details, we will be sure that you are emailed with how you can be involved and ways that we can do.
And hopefully we know more details before this podcast ends so we can announce it over the beautiful waves, audio waves of the internet streaming service. So we left off. It is fall of 2020, still in the pandemic, right in the middle of that pandemic. I think Delta was surging and 2020 was just the year that never ended.
Yeah, you remember more than me. I don't remember when the variants were surging, but good job.
I think that's right.
Fact checker.
Maybe not. Maybe that was 21.
Send us emails. Tell us whether that was a real thing. Time became weird in the pandemic.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I had, for several months at this point, I'd been seeing a therapist. I'd been figuring out or trying to figure out my gender identity. April was kind of back and forth. She'd bought me a dress. She'd had difficulty with certain things.
Mm-hmm. I was wanting to be supportive, but wasn't fully supportive yet.
Yes.
But the will was there.
That is correct. The will was there. And so, yes, so it's October, and we'll kind of jump right into kind of a very formative moment for me and really for the marriage. So this is October. For the previous 2 or 3 months, I'd been trying to figure out if I was a trans woman, if I was a man that just liked women's clothes, if this was just a sexual thing, like, where does this fall? And April was out of town on a shoot because April was a freelance producer for films. So she's out on a shoot. I'm home alone. Well, the kids are staying with me, but they went to sleep and I was allowed to do a green light night. And so I put on something more feminine and I just went and prayed. And I said, God, like, please help me figure out who I am. And I just looked up at the sky and I said, I just feel in between. And I just felt a peace. And it was the first time I'd really felt that. Just a peace come over me. And it was this moment when I felt like I could finally stop trying to fit either of these boxes that I just didn't feel comfortable in. Because as I mentioned in previous episodes, so much of my anxiety came from being put in the mailbox, but also having to... be worried that if I go in the female box of other things that I would give up that I connected to and enjoyed. And so the stress of going either or, and then I think as soon as I said, I feel in between, it just felt like it fit. And my therapist had told me that when you finally claim the identity that's yours, it's going to feel just comfortable. And it felt really comfortable. And I didn't have a word for it necessarily at this point. And so I went to my therapist, of course, right after, and I was like, hey, like, what's the word for this? And then we went through, you know, I think gender fluid was a word that I used a lot early on because even though I felt in between, it shifted. I would feel more masculine some days, more feminine some days. But really, non-binary was even the term then that I felt pretty strongly about. And so April gets back from her trip and I sit down with you after I've met with my therapist and I say, this doesn't mean we have to do anything. this doesn't mean we have to take any steps, but I want you to know that I'm non-binary. It fits. I finally feel like I have a word for who I am. Mm-hmm. How is that for you?
Well, I will say non-binary was the less, like, just seemed more attainable than, you know, like, I asked, like, does this mean you're transitioning or, you know, what? I mean, you're already growing out your hair. So, and on one hand, I was like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. But we started having a long conversation about what that would look like. And it was one of those days where I was just really annoyed and was kind of feeling selfish about the whole thing. And, you know, was like, God, why my husband? Like, why did this have to happen to me of all people? So I was just not in the best mood probably to be having this conversation for starters. But I remember, I think you looked at me and you said, like, you know, 'cause like, well, what does that mean? Like, what does that look like for you and for us going forward? And one of the things that you said was you'd love to be able to go out and address one day, like in public.
Yeah, I think what I said is, like, I want to express myself outside of gender norms. Mm-hmm. And, you know, April, a few months previous for this, or maybe a month before this, had bought me a dress. And yeah. So I said, like, you know, like, I want to be able to, like, present without the gender norms being on me. And then I think April was like, well, does that mean, like, you'd go out wearing a dress? And I was like, you know, I don't have the confidence right now, but yeah, like, that's how I feel. And I think that freaked you out a lot.
It super freaked me out because now we're talking, I don't know, it was just like one thing for it to be private and then another thing, like, I could be cool with it just me and it was like a secret, but knowing that other people would see me, like, in the moment it was like, this is going to be a reflection on me and my reputation. Like, now I'm not married to the, like, I'm not in this cisgender straight marriage anymore. Now I'm like, what does this mean for me? I'm in a queer relationship now. My partner, who was my husband, is walking around in a dress. Like, in my head, I just had all this fear and anxiety around it. And, like, the old conservative me was just coming out and being like, this is wrong. I think this was the lowest moment for me in how I responded. But I said that the day that you go out in the dress is the day that our marriage ends. And even as I said it, I regretted it. Like, I regretted it as soon as it was coming out of my mouth, because we had never even mentioned divorce or separation. And the entire time, like, both of us were very clear about saying, like, okay, we'll figure this out. We're not going anywhere. We're going to stay together. And so I felt like in that moment, I kind of, you know, broke that trust. Like, it got a little scary, because I realized I clearly have not dealt with a lot of these emotions if this is going to come out.
And I think for me, the fact that the trigger wasn't necessarily that I was non-binary, wasn't necessarily that I was going to be dressing around the house, but it was about other people finding out, which in my mind was, of the three things that really held you up, the thing that I put the least amount of importance in, and seeing that for you, that what other people thought was worth possibly ending our marriage was tough to
hear. I found it. It was, like, embarrassing for me, in a sense. And I couldn't really wrap my head around why. But I also, and I told you this, too, like, I had been very outspoken on many other progressive issues. And I was outspoken against Trump. But still Christian, like, still at least trying to stay in these Christian circles, even though they were trying to kick me out. And I felt like once they knew that Beecher was non-binary, and if I was cool with it, then whatever last shred of influence or credibility that I had would just completely be gone. Like, they would be like, oh, like, I just didn't want them to feel justified in what they were already thinking of me, which I know is stupid. Like, it's logically stupid, but it really bothered me that these people would have this to hold over me.
Yeah, and I understand it. It was hard to hear, and I will say, as April said, in the moment when she said, that's the day our marriage ends, she walked it back pretty quickly and said, I'm sorry, I'm just, you know,
And I did clarify, like, I don't necessarily mean divorce. I just, like, I don't see how we recover, like, in our relationship.
And so, really, the kind of theme of the next couple months was, at least what I kind of felt from you was, okay, Beecher, you're non-binary. I accept this. But why do we have to tell other people? Why can this not just be a private thing that you and I keep to ourselves. And so that was more of your conversation at that point.
Yeah. I didn't understand the need to tell people. Because you started, this was around the time where you started telling lots of people, like in one-on-one conversations, like coming out to them.
Yeah.
And like, I was glad that you were widening your circles of people that really knew you. But there were some people that you would tell that I was like, why do they need to know? Like, why? I just didn't get it.
Yeah, and for many months after it, when I come back and tell you, I told somebody that would be the response.
Yeah, but you're especially, like, why'd you tell them?
Right, but I will say, but you were going back and forth on it. But those first couple months really kind of, so that October, I realized I was non-binary. Informed April, started telling my family. I told my parents, told a number of people, privately, and then November, December, like I said, it was like, okay, you can still have green light nights. You're non-binary. Let's not change anything else. Let's keep it quiet. And for whatever reason, and this is, I look back and go, wow, how stupid. I kind of had gone to Courtney, my therapist, in order to figure out who I was. And then once I was like, I'm non-binary, I for some reason thought like I didn't need to keep going as often. I was still, I didn't like cancel officially or say I'm taking a break for months. It's just like, you know, oh shoot. Next week, someone wants to get coffee. I'm supposed to do therapy then. Oh no, I guess I'll cancel therapy. And so I just hit a really weird place where it was in middle of December. I am not going to see my therapist anymore. And April's wanting to keep it quiet. I'm getting excited, wanting to express this thing. Cause it feels like I've discovered this thing I've been looking for my entire life and I'm excited about it.
And I had not got to the excited stage yet. I was still very much in, this is something that I'm tolerating. I definitely was not celebrating that part of you.
Yeah, well, and I get it. And then in December, some good and bad stuff happened. So it's right around Christmas. April's family comes into town. I am needing some space just because they came and come in. I love April's family, but they come in town for a long time. So I was needing some space. And so I did a green light night or two.
That was while I was down with my family.
Yeah. And
at my mom's house.
Yes. And you knew I was doing them.
Yeah.
And I started taking some pictures because April had gotten a ring light. And so I'd started using the ring light and taking pictures of myself. Of course, I'm working at a place where I feel like I'd probably be fired if the pictures got public. So I didn't let that out. But I took shots of like my neck down, of like me wearing a dress and boots and even fake boobs. And like I took these pictures and April really found them. You weren't saying you found them repulsive, but you found them repulsive at this season. You were saying a lot of synonyms that were a little bit nicer than that, but it was a very clear message. And so I'm not really wanting to show April. There's no friends that I feel like I can really send this to. And so what I ended up doing was I thought, okay, where can I anonymously post something and just so the world can see? And so I went on Reddit. And if you don't know what Reddit is, it's called the front page of the internet. A friend that I had worked with years ago had really kind of told me about it. Never used it, but I knew you could post things anonymously. And so I joined a group, a gender fluid thread, and I posted some pictures of me neck down. And the response was really amazing. They were saying, oh my gosh, you're so pretty. Oh my gosh, I love that dress. Oh my gosh, I love those boots. And it was so intoxicating. I mean, to get these comments, it's the first time in my life anyone had ever seen something that I had been so ashamed of, and that, you know, April had been at this point ashamed of, and I was getting positive feedback, and it was such a thrill, and it was so exciting, and I wanted to do it more. And so near the end of Christmas break, I posted again, and I posted on the gender fluid thread and their subreddit, and that was good. Still, good, positive, uplifting comments. And then I posted on the cross-dressing thread. And that was where the danger arose. Because for whatever reason, if you went to the cross-dressing thread, I don't know if it just wasn't as LGBTQ people supporting each other, that I started to get, near the end of break, I got messages from men that were finding me, once again, neck down, quite attractive. And I didn't respond initially because I didn't think, you know, I'm not going there. But I reached a point where they were saying such nice things. This was all in one night, for the record. It wasn't going on for weeks. They were saying such nice things over and over again that I ended up responding, saying some things back. They said some things to me. They took the conversation inappropriate. I ended up getting out of it and blocking them. But I felt really guilty that I'd even been enticed to getting it to the place of kind of explicit messages being sent to me. Because I started to sense that's where it was going. I wanted to feel like someone was attracted to me. So then I told April about this in January.
Yeah, I did not. I was freaked out. Because this is the first time that it felt dangerous that... One, that if I didn't start being more accepting, you were just going to look elsewhere to get that affirmation. But two, I felt betrayed that Beecher went and looked for that affirmation elsewhere. Like,
you knew I was posting on Reddit.
Yeah.
It was, and you were okay with the first couple of times it really was only supportive comments and messages from other people who were gender fluid or trans, and... you're okay with that, mm-hmm. but it was when it turned
sexual.
And she, I remember you asking me like, wait a minute, are you attracted to men? And the reality is no, I've never been attracted to men. The actual idea of being with a man, I can't really wrap my head around. It's not something I think about. It's not something I want, but having anyone look at this piece of me and find me, like I said, attractive and being found as attractive and being wanted was intoxicating. I told April that. I was like, April, I told April about this incident. I totally deleted Reddit, mm-hmm. and I still to this day have not gone back on Reddit. So I did it for about 2 months, like I said, but then I didn't go back on it. But I told April, I said, I'm worried that I could fall that easily, because I'm really surprised that I responded to those messages, because now I'm in my right mind and I'm worried that it feels so good to be complimented that it's an Achilles heel that one day may trip
me up. Because Beecher is actually has very good self-discipline. You're on a very strict diet for health reasons that you've kept for well over 6 years now. And like, Beecher has a very good work ethic, very high self-discipline. So that in and of itself was scary that you kind of lost control mm-hmm. in this area.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that kind of built up to a little bit of a breaking point. And then I had a friend who I knew from actually from the Christian university that I went to for undergrad reach out to me, because I'd been defending, I think, trans women in sports on my Facebook. And mm-hmm. they reached out and said, hey, I know we haven't talked in basically a decade. I just want to know, thank you for supporting trans people. I'm non-binary. And I just want you to know that I really appreciate it. And then, of course, at this point, I'm telling people. And I was like, oh my gosh, you're non-binary? I'm non-binary. We ended up messaging back and forth for a while. Mm-hmm. It was someone that was in a polyamorous relationship, meaning that they were in a serious relationship, but they were open to dating other people. And they just told me about the culture that was out west in Colorado, where I could be loved and accepted, and even find relationship and even find intimacy. And it wasn't coming from creepy guys on Reddit that I have mm-hmm. no interest in, but it's actually coming from a community where I'm like, oh my gosh, like this... I know this person, like they have a good heart, like they're a really great, great person. And so it was the combination of the Reddit mistake and then talking with my friend, who was just very much like, you deserve to be loved, you deserve to be seen, sending good vibes. I'm so glad we reconnected. Oh, and then I started really, really fantasizing about running off out west. And being seen and loved and accepted, and the idea of being in a relationship where I could actually be celebrated, once again, it was like, it was almost all consuming mentally. And I sat you down and told you all of this through a lot of tears. And I said, I'm really struggling because on one hand, I am getting torn up on the fact of leaving, on the idea of leaving you, because I can't imagine leaving you. But also, if life is going to stay the way it is, where I'm where it I'm found repulsive and asked to stay quiet and stay in a closet now that I know who I am the rest of my life. I just don't know. And your dad, April's dad, had a quote that he would use a lot from stage, because he was an evangelist, and he would say, go where you're celebrated, not where you're tolerated. And I just simply, I remember saying to April and saying, basically, if you think we can get to a place where you can celebrate me and support me, I'm absolutely wanting to stay in this relationship. I'm not going anywhere. But if the rest of our lives is going to be you tolerating me and me making your life miserable and you making my life miserable because I know who I am now, then I don't know if I can stay in it.
Yeah, and that really upset me, because up until this point, like, Beecher was always very good about saying that if at any point I got too uncomfortable and wanted them to stop, that they would. And, like, Beecher assured that to me multiple times throughout this, throughout our whole marriage. Like, you know, and I never felt comfortable to ask them to stop, because I knew when the times that they did stop, you know, they would spiral or they'd get depressed, and it wasn't good. So I saw that stopping was bad fruit and unhealthy. But I at least had the option to ask you to stop. And so this was kind of the first moment where I realized this is out of my hands now. I don't have any control over this. And that kind of felt like a betrayal, because it did seem like, too, you know, like you would say, oh, I just want to do green light nights, and that's really all I want. And then it was, I want to go out in public and be like this and dress how I want. And it felt like, you know, even from the beginning, he was like, oh, let's just introduce something in our sex life. Let me just wear pink socks. Let me just wear one of your shirts. Let me just wear one of your dresses in private. And so it just felt like it was kept getting bigger, and I kept losing more and more control. And the whole time I kept asking for the reassurance, and you would always give it to me, like, no, I can stop. I'll stop. And so it was really hard, because I felt betrayed and lied to, because, yeah, I just thought this was not what I signed up for. This was not who I married, and this was not how I pictured my marriage ever in my life. But it was also the first time that I just knew, like, okay, we got to figure out how to make this work. If this is going, like, if we're going to make this work, we need to actually figure it out. Like, it was the kind of the first moment where I realized, like, shoot, this is really happening.
Yeah. And it was hard. I'd put other people in front of myself my entire life. I mean, growing up, I thought about my parents' reaction to if I came out to them, or my church's reaction, or this my school's reaction, or, and then of course, you know, in this season, I'm thinking about April. I'm asking permission for every green light night. I'm asking permission to post pictures on Reddit. I'm asking permission to, you know, wear leggings around the house. Like, I'm asking permission to do everything, but I now know who I am, and that gave me a lot of confidence. And along the way, I'd always said, all right, April, if you want me to stop, I'll stop. April, if you want me to stop, I'll stop. And this point, I didn't. And I said, I can't. Mm-hmm. And I've thought through what changed. And what changed is, once I finally knew I was non-binary, I reached a style of life where I had never been so at peace being alone. Mm-hmm. I had never been so happy being alone. Because when you'd go out of town, before I knew I was non-binary, it would be this constant struggle of, am I a boy? Am I a girl? Can I do this? Can I not do this? Can this? And suddenly now I was non-binary, and I just felt at peace. I felt at peace when I was driving in my car. I felt at peace when I went to bed at night. Everything about my life felt comfortable and nice. And so that is the reason I just couldn't go back anymore.
Right after that, you had a weird 3 or 4 days there where you were like, let's just be roommates, you know, like, for the sake of the kids, we can stay together and we don't have to have sex. Like, I know you don't find that side of me attractive, so I'd rather just not have sex so I don't constantly feel rejected. And
right, because you hadn't responded great to me saying, basically, I need you to get to a place of celebrating, because I remember you saying, I just don't think I can get there.
Yeah, I didn't think that I could. I didn't know. So for but me, I also didn't like the ultimatum, because it just felt gross.
Yeah, right. But for me, in that moment, that felt like the best landing place, because if it's run off to go out west and leave and not see my kids very often and not see you very often, or stay in the closet forever, the idea of, because you'd said in a previous episode, you said, because April would say, basically, my issue is not that you're non-binary. My issue is that you're my husband and you're non-binary. If you were just my friend or my roommate, I'd be totally fine with it.
Right.
And I think,
like, I didn't have to sleep with a roommate.
But for that, for me, what that gave me was a middle ground that was easier for me to contemplate. Because I honestly, the idea of staying in the closet forever or going back, you know, spending my whole life presenting like a cisgender male and fitting this box and coming home and getting a green light night every 5 weeks, it was an excruciating idea. Where the idea of, you know, April, well, the reality is, and this is something that I fully believe, we cannot help what we're attracted to. I knew April cannot help what she's attracted to or not. I was hoping that she could get to a place of finding me attractive, but I also realized that that absolutely could be out of her hands. Mm-hmm. And if that, of all the three, theology, which we'd kind of work through. I don't feel like there's any theological reason I couldn't be non-binary. What other people think, which I had worked through, April was still, you know, dealing with,
not clinging to.
But for me, the one that held the most weight was the attractive level. And I'm like, and I remember saying, like, well, our sex life already isn't that great.
Right. It wasn't like I was having orgasms.
Right. So, like, if we give that up and we'd be roommates and you could be someone that goes shopping with me and support me and love me, and, like, we're able to do life together and raise kids together and, like, even live in the same house. But I would rather give up my bad sex life than who I am and being authentic. And that was what I was saying, but not what April was hearing, which I totally understand.
No, because what I was hearing was you were choosing your identity over me. Because, you know, also growing up in purity culture, they really talk about sex and marriage, because they talk about sex a lot on how you can't have it. So they really talk about how important it is for a healthy, godly marriage to have sex. And I was like, I don't want to be robbed of that side of my life. Like, even though our sex life was not great, it definitely needed lots of improvement. I just found it really, like, I was personally offended, because it was the first, like, up until this point, you had always said that you were going to put me first. And if I ever said stop, that you would. And this was the first time where you were like, no, I'm putting me first. And, you know, you either can get in line and we can make this work, or we're just going to be roommates. Like, you were taking something away from me, which was a subpar sex life, but it was still something that
you felt like was an absolute must in a heterosexual Christian marriage.
In any marriage. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
No, so that was like a 3 or 4 day thing where you were just treating me like a roommate.
Okay. But I will say, I think hopefully it's coming through, and this happens a lot in marriages and in relationships, where one partner's saying something from point A, and then you're hearing something else. Because mm-hmm. I wasn't saying it with the same way that you're... Yeah, I just, once again, I think...
But right, but you were saying,
I understand.
No sex, we could just be roommates, because we were best friends. So I knew, like, from a friend standpoint, like, we'd be...
Once again, it was just of the three options, it was the only one that I could wrap my mind around without spiraling, because I'd been in a really dark place. I mean, just even leading up to this conversation, I was literally driving and April called me after one of my therapy appointments. And I don't know if you ever heard me cry that hard.
No, you were bawling.
I was bawling enough that I had to pull over because I couldn't drive.
So, well, that was because you realized you didn't want to be roommates too.
Yeah, but what it was I just made the mistake on Reddit. I just connected with this non-binary community that was saying they could love and support me. And we're just dealing with a lot. And I had just come from a therapy session of, like, talking through what I could do going forward. Mm-hmm. And I will say it was a very hard conversation. This is by far in our marriage saga, the point where, the foundation of our marriage was the most shaky. Like, if it was not going to work, this was the point where it was not going to work. But I said what I said, and I and I basically put the ball in April's court.
Well, it was at the very end. It was at the end of the few days where we tossed around the idea. You tossed around the idea of us being roommates and me telling you I'm not cool with that. And then you hit your breaking point and we're just bawling. And I remember you were bawling on the phone, but then you came home and were bawling too at like in our bedroom and we were talking about it. And you talked about, I don't remember exactly what you said, but it was something like, if I have to go back in the closet, I don't really want to live. Like, it was something borderline, you know, just self-harm. And I started crying. And then I just realized it was like another kind of wake-up call of like, why am I holding on to this idea of what this marriage should be? And why don't I just try to make what it is work? And so that was when I told you and I decided, okay, I'm going to go to therapy. And because I had never had an orgasm even before, you know, we started going down the, before we realized that it was non-binary, I hadn't had an orgasm with the guy that I had slept with before Beecher or with Beecher. And it was not Beecher's fault. It was very much purity culture. And I just had a lot of shame wrapped around in sex and I just wanted to get it over with. And I had never experienced what an orgasm was. So it was like, you know, what am I missing? Let's just get her done. So, but I knew of this orgasm because I had heard of it and seen women on TV and heard people talk about it. And so I was like, I'm going to go to a therapist who specializes in like sex therapy and talk about this and also to have someone to talk about Beecher's gender identity. So I find one. Actually, I think Beecher's counselor recommended someone to me, knowing what I was looking for, knowing Beecher's story.
And I mean, I remember coming out of it saying, I can't stay in the marriage if I'm just going to be tolerated. I have to know that we're at least shooting for you being into a place of celebrating me. And I will say that this was huge for me because you weren't, it's not like overnight you suddenly got supportive and celebratory for me. But I will say I saw a huge shift because I finally knew who I was. The ball was in your court. And you said, I don't know if I can get there, but I'm going to do everything I can to see if we can make this work. And suddenly I saw you taking a lot of steps where before, even though you were becoming more cool, it was still a little bit of denial, still a little bit of you not really researching, you not really looking at pictures, you not really like wanting to engage.
Yeah.
And then that January, after you saw the pain that I went through, the idea of going back in the closet, and you started doing real work. And I that was the moment I think you saved our marriage.
Yeah, well, I remember telling you, like, I'm not there yet, but I will do what I can to try to get there.
And that's all I needed to hear to look back at April and say, I'm not going anywhere. I'm in this marriage. Like,
Yeah, and then you wanted to have sex with me again. But I know that you were only saying that as a self-defense, like, survival mode, too. So anyway, so I get a counselor. And she has me read this book called Come As You Are. And yes, it's exactly what you think. I read the first few chapters. I was like, okay, they want you to look at your body. And so I realized I had a lot of shame around just my body in general and how my body, you know, in purity culture, you're taught, women, females are taught that our bodies are like inherently evil because we're walking stumbling blocks. It was really hard to shake that. So I had actually bought a vibrator before this, like about a year or so prior to when I got this counselor. But only ever used it with Beecher. And I had realized as I was describing like our sex life to my counselor, she said that I was disassociating anytime Beecher and I would have sex. And I was like, oh, that makes sense. Cause I'm always thinking about pretty much anything else and what was happening. And so based on the story that you guys all know, one, my previous assault, and then Beecher, when we were engaged, how they would treat me after any time we did something sexual, my body and my brain, as a safety mechanism, would just check out anytime we would have sex. And so my counselor told me this, and then I realized that I am not going to be able to have a healthy sex life with Beecher until I figure out my own body for myself. So anyway, so I had previously used a vibrator like in the year or two prior to getting this counselor. But I would always use it with Beecher because I just had something in my head that it was wrong for me to use alone. There was just too much shame.
And I was fully supporting her using it alone. I was like, you need to figure out what you like and what you don't like. If you don't want me to explore and figure this out, like, please, like, like, take a night, because I was getting green light nights. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, you're giving me freedom and I am now almost demanding freedom in the marriage. Yeah. Then I want you to have freedom and you work through whatever you need to work through. And I fully support you.
So she was like, you need to use that vibrator alone. Don't let Beecher be around. And Beecher was fully supportive and had been trying to get me to do this, you know, well, even before my counselor said. But, you know, there's something different when your counselor tells you to do it. So I got my old vibrator out and, you know, it was fine. The first few sessions was, it took a few sessions for me to get comfortable with my body and to get over the fact that I was doing something wrong. I was not doing something wrong. But then I was like, you know what? I had just bought like a cheap vibrator because I was frugal a couple years ago. So I was like, I'm going to take money. And Beecher was fully supportive. They were like, take the money, look at all the reviews, find the one that has the best reviews from women. And I was like, okay. And so I found one and I'm really hoping that they're going to sponsor me and that I can advertise it. So I'm not going to tell you which one it is until they sponsor me.
But if you really want to know,
you can
email us and we'll
you can email me and I'll tell you. So I buy this one and Beecher's like, okay, have a time, you know, do your thing, whatever. So I did it and I'll just say it worked. And it was like afterwards, I was like, oh, this is why women like having sex. Like it was like the birds were singing, the clouds rolled away. I understood life. It's like, this is why people have sex. Oh my gosh, no wonder. And so anyway, it worked. And so it still took a little bit before I felt super comfortable doing that with Beecher, because I still felt, I oddly like got to a place where I felt comfortable doing it myself, but I felt shameful doing it around Beecher, like having someone, I don't know how to describe it.
It just took time, but yeah. But the important thing is you were seeing a therapist who knew how to guide you, and you were taking active steps to figure out what you like, who you are, and I think that really came out of you realizing you were going to have to let me be who I am. And
right.
And you're
doing, I also think, have like, it seems weird, but having, I just thought for so long in my life that something was wrong with me, and having, I don't know, like just having an orgasm finally, it's like, no, like I'm not broken. Like I'm a woman, and I definitely felt more, I just felt myself. Like I felt like, oh, I'm living as I was made to live in a weird way. And it, somehow that made me understand Beecher a little bit more. Like Beecher's just living in the way that they were made to live. It was like your identity was you discovering an orgasm. Like who would I be to keep your orgasm away from you?
Oh my gosh, that's great. I've never heard you say that.
I just made that connection just now in real time.
It's a really good blog post right there.
Yeah.
I'm excited. There.
Who am I to take your orgasm away from you? Is that the title of the podcast? Oh, sidetrack. Okay, so another thing that I discovered with my counselor, and Beecher had actually asked me this before, because I think Beecher had said, you know, one thing that your counselor told you was that it really helps in, you know, heterosexual marriages if one of them is non-binary or trans, that their partner be bi or pansexual.
Right. And I will say that my therapist also said that out of a number of trans clients that she saw, they happened to have married someone who is bi or pan, just
without
in general,
knowing it.
Without knowing it, just mm-hmm. in general, with personalities and almost auras, so to speak, mm-hmm. like the subconscious drawing. Yeah. And so, of course, that made me go, "Oh, I really hope," because of course, I'm still thinking roommates is a possibility. Like if April comes back after a year or two or three or how long and says, I cannot get there. I cannot do this. I'm not attracted to you in any way. Then like, I'm still thinking, but I'm really rooting because I'm still crazy attracted to April. I've always been crazy attracted to her. And I still want to be with her in that way. And so I'm really rooting. And so of course, when my therapist tells me, you know, of course, well, you know, a lot of partners are bi or pan. They just haven't realized it yet. I came back and told April that and just here and there, I started asking mm-hmm. questions like, well, you know, okay, you're only attracted to men. What kind of men are you attracted to? And then realized that you had a hard time telling me.
I couldn't tell you what men I was attracted to.
And then I said, okay, well, like, what are you, like, what turns you on? And you were like, I don't know. And then we started getting into more questions. And I think
Well, there was a decent possibility, because Beecher did know this about me, because on our very first date, I told them this, which I don't think I've even said this on this podcast, but in college, I made out with my best girlfriend on a dare, and definitely enjoyed it. So, but it was like one of those things that...
For the record, though, when you told me, you did not say definitely enjoyed
it. No, I didn't.
I don't think you would process that you enjoyed it until this moment in our story.
I knew that I had enjoyed it, but I thought...
You never admitted it to anyone.
Yeah, because I thought it was wrong, so I was probably ashamed of it. But also, somehow I just believed that every girl was a little bit attracted to some of their friends sometimes, you know? Like, that was just normal. The hoops that our brains will jump through to, like, just stay straight like the church tells you to. And I had just had this stereotyped idea of what... being bi was, like, the church paints this picture of, like, bisexuality, like, you definitely choose that, because if you're bi, why would you choose to be attracted to same sex when the Bible says blah, 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 blah? And so I had this idea that if you were bi, then you're hypersexual and you're promiscuous. And I was like, I'm just April, so I can't be those things. Like, I am definitely straight. So it was just dug down so deep in the cognitive dissonance that I had. Anyway, so long story short, through my counselor and through, like, looking at my past and who I was attracted to, I realized I am not straight. I am definitely attracted to women. So I don't know if that meant I was bisexual or pansexual, but and it was like, once I finally said it out loud, everything clicked. And it was like, of course I've always been attracted to girls. I just never thought about it. So then I started looking at Beecher's, like, feminine side to be like, okay, I know that I can be attracted to the feminine. Can I be attracted to Beecher, who I married as my husband?
Right.
Can I be attracted to them in a feminine form? And in the answer is yeah. Like, we've had moments where Beecher was in full femme and we got intimate and it was great.
Our sex life really improved.
Yeah.
And it wasn't perfect, but we headed down a road where we now are at a place where we really enjoy it. And I think, it's because of the work that we both did. Me on my identity for my gender, and you on the work on your sexuality. And it was tough. And it really reached a point where we had to stop living for each other, and we had to start living... And it feels almost anti-Christian to say, but we had to start living for ourselves. And in that moment, when we made that decision, we started wanting to live life with each other as opposed to being obligated to live life for each other.
Well, and you finding your freedom allowed me to find my freedom. Because there's something intoxicating around when you're around someone who is just fully themselves and fully authentic.
And I was so happy.
You were so happy. Yeah. And so I was like, huh, well, I want to be happy too. So yeah. And yeah, it was like, I'm smiling a lot now because finally we're through some of the dark stuff, but we're not, we still have a few things to go through. But,
but this in our story, in our marriage, this month was the turning point, because I think this is the moment I could see a lot of spouses being unwilling to make the jump that you just made in this moment.
Right. But it was not an overnight thing still, but it was starting to see some light in the tunnel.
Absolutely. So I can pretty confidently say that we have one more episode in our story. And
then we'll do a Q&A.
And then we're going to do a Q&A. And we may even have some bonus episodes, but really next episode gets us from this point where April is putting in the work. I am fully embracing my non-binary identity, and we are heading towards happiness. And so we will wrap up our story next episode. If you've stuck in it this long, thank you. It means a lot to us. I'm glad that our story is connecting with you. It's crazy to think that we're nearing the finale. But yeah, so we'll do one more episode to catch us up where we are. And then we'll do a pretty big Q&A session. So please send questions in if you have questions that you would like for us to address. We already have quite a few. And so that'll be a pretty extensive episode. And like I said, we may do some bonus episodes. So who knows when it'll exactly end. But our story, that segment of it, which is the idea behind this podcast, really comes to a close next time. So thank you so much for listening, so much for supporting. And we will talk to y'all next week.
Next week.
Thanks for listening to the Non-Binary Marriage Podcast. We would love if you would take the time to leave us a review or a 5-star rating wherever you listen. And if you need to get a hold of us, you can email us at nonbinarymarriage@gmail.com or individually on TikTok or Instagram at April A. Joy or at Hello Beecher. Stay tuned for new episodes coming out weekly. Thanks again for listening.